views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Moms, are you ready to become enlightened, empowered, and stress-free? Well, get ready because you are about to tune into vibrant, powerful moms helping everyday women create an extraordinary life with Debbie Pokornik. Each week, Debbie discusses topics to help you become self-aware, inspired, and on track to create the life you crave. It's time to stop settling and start thriving. And it all begins now on Transformation Talk Radio.
This is Debbie Pokornik, host of Vibrant Powerful Moms, a podcast focused on helping you remember who you really are so you can realign with that vibrant energy while enjoying the life you've come here to live. Last week, I shared some ideas to get your emotions moving so that you can deal with any heavy or difficult feelings rather than stuff, ignore, deny, or minimize them. Today, we're going to talk about shifting your perspective as a way to deal with those heavy days. These tips or tools work beautifully with the emotion movers that we discussed last week, so you can use them together or you can try them on their own. On days when your brain seems to be running the show and making it really hard to target the feelings, this can be a really good way to find calm, to open yourself up to new possibilities, and to lighten your mood. So let's talk about shifting your perspective. One of the greatest challenges to your ego self is the fact that it really can only see things from one perspective, and that's yours. This means in any given situation, you only have half the story, and that's on a good day. Training yourself to look at things from other angles opens up something referred to as your operating reality, and it teaches you to see so much more. Here's three of my favorite tools for shifting perspectives. The first one is to ask what-if questions. This is a simple game that can move you out of victim mentality, awaken your empathy, and put things in perspective. As I already mentioned, in most situations, we have only half the story. Often it's way less than that. We just think we have at least half. And that's what we base our reality on. How we feel, how we respond, what our attitude is, are all based on what we believe about a situation, which is limited to what we've seen, heard, or experienced. This game asks you to suspend judgment, to ignore limiting beliefs, and instead open your mind to the infinite possibilities about any given situation. It's best to practice this in times of calm because we already know, once a red alert is sounded, it's very difficult to get any new information in or out of the lockdown area. In my book, Standing in Your Power, this game is one of my Oh My Goddess moments, and it's called What If I Were Queen? The idea behind it is quite simple. Rather than just accept what you already know as evidence, use your imagination to come up with some creative what-if questions to expand your mind. I always encourage people to get silly with it and to stay away from any guilt-producing or hurtful what-ifs. Those will always be there. And so you might be tempted to, you know, come up with what if he's just a jerk and going to be like that forever. But that's not going to help you. That's not going to help you empathize or feel better, lighten the mood. So the what-if game is all about looking for positives, but really having fun with that. To practice this, start with some already made questions that get you thinking and looking beyond what you'd normally see. So, for example, what if the guy who just cut you off is on his way home from the hospital after getting bad news? What if your son got in that fight at school because someone was making fun of his sister? What if every time you smiled, it decreases your chance of ever getting sick? What if you found out tomorrow that you only had 1 week to live? What if your child's messy room ended up getting her on the Ellen DeGeneres show? That'd be so cool. What if, no matter what you did, you knew you'd always be looked after? Can you imagine the freedom from that one? What if that irritating colleague at work has been asked to push you to see if you're management material? What if you don't have the whole story? Now, those are examples of how these questions might look. Now, I've made those ones up just to get you thinking, to get you to see that these what ifs are going outside of the box. I know that's an overused statement, but they're going outside of whatever your current reality is and getting you to think beyond where you would normally go. So now it's your turn. To practice, you might think about situations that you've experienced in the last few days that were mildly emotional. Do not go for the hot spots right off the top. And let's say, okay, you saw a shirt on a mannequin last week and you fell in love and you finally made it in to buy it and the shirt is sold out. Ugh. Using the what if game, you might think, well, you could go with the obvious. What if the shirt was cheaply made or made out of an itchy material or way overpriced? But I have to assume that if this really happened to you, they would have still had at least one shirt. And, you know, it would have been extra small if you're a large or extra large if you're an extra small. You know, there's just no way it was going to fit you. So you know the material's nice. You know it wasn't itchy. You know the price was right. Don't use a what if statement that you can already disprove because it stops you from being creative. Okay? So instead, you want to get outside of that container and think, all right, what if my nemesis bought the same shirt and we wore it on the same day? You know, whether that nemesis is at work or at a meeting or a mother of another child on your child's hockey team. It doesn't matter. Imagine, what if they were wearing it? What if I bought it and never wore it because it gaped? You know how some shirts do that no matter what? It just depends on how you turn and suddenly there's a big gape showing off your bra or maybe even more. Or maybe the sleeves are too tight. What if the sleeves were faulty and just too tight, you know, where you feel constricted? What if the shirt was doomed and the first time I wore it, something bad was going to happen to it? Like I was going to get a big stain down the front of it, or maybe if I wash it before I wear it, the colors ran in the wash, or maybe it shrinks. What if next week I see an even nicer shirt on sale? Okay, so that's your task, and you might want to pause the podcast to do it. Think about something that happened to you in the last little while that irked you. You know, it wasn't that big of a deal, but it kind of irked you, and see if you can come up with some fun what ifs to look at things from a different perspective. Now, after practicing with less emotional situations, and if you find that this tool works for you and you enjoy using it, you can move on to those with a higher charge. So, for example, let's say when you dropped your child off at daycare this morning, he threw an absolute temper tantrum. Now, that's really hard on all of us, all mothers. You know, we are wired to feel bad when that happens. Now, some mothers get angry when it happens, but even those that get angry typically have some kind of guilt, or they wonder if there's something wrong with their child or if they're doing something wrong. So it goes deeper than just anger. Anger is kind of like a cover up there. So see if you can come up for some what ifs for an emotionally charged situation like that. Now, just a hint, you want to try to use these what ifs to see the other person's behavior in a more understanding light. So it's not going to work in your favor. This is where you want to avoid things like, what if my child really is a monster? What if he's doing this on purpose to drive me crazy? that's not going to help you. And the idea is for this to help you lighten your mood and see things from his perspective. So instead, you might think, what if my son's behavior is training me for a reality show that I'm about to be chosen for? Now, if you're not into reality shows, in fact, if you hate reality shows, then don't use that what if, because it's not going to be a fun one for you. But I just wanted to show you how you can go outside of the box and see things differently. Here's another one. What if these tantrums are meant to help me have thicker skin for the new job I'm starting next week? Okay. So what you're doing is you're looking for ways that this could be helpful for you. You're looking for ways that it could be part of a bigger picture, because our kids are here to help us on our journey as much as we're here to help them. So you can use situations with your child. It could be a colleague. It could be your spouse, your lover, your business partner. It doesn't matter. The point is that you want to look at the situation and come up with some fun what ifs. Now, remember, this is about using your imagination, lightening the situation by having some fun, and recognizing that there's always more going on than meets the eye. The second tool that I want to share with you is called channeling your alien. This tool can be a bit difficult to apply for the first time when you're really in the dark or are feeling really low. So it's a good idea to practice it on good days as well. It's a way to tune back into your life and see it with fresh eyes. In this case, you want to see it through the eyes of an alien. Why? Because aliens are from another world. They aren't aware of the many, many things that we already accept and take for granted. So when you're channeling an alien, you're going to be seeing things from totally new eyes. Also, the alien is telepathic, so you don't have to say any of these things out loud, and that's probably a good thing. So what you want to do is you scan your environment as if you've never seen it before. Look around the room and see the beauty. Now, if you can't find any beauty, then perhaps it's time to redecorate or at least clean. And you know what? I was kind of saying that as a joke, but in truth, energy does get trapped in messes. So cleaning up a space, just picking up a few things and putting them away, releases that trapped energy and it can lighten your mood. So if you're looking around your room and seeing it with fresh eyes and all you're seeing is a mess, it might be worth it to just take a few minutes and get rid of a few things, because we have diffuse awareness, and even when you're ignoring those things, they're still yelling at you in your environment. So they do actually zap your energy and make it harder to focus. So point out the beautiful things, just like you might if you were visiting a friend's place for the first time. You don't have to go in great detail. You might just go, oh, I love that picture. Or I love the way your drapes match the color of your wall. Or counteract. What do you call it when something is the opposite? Set off, let's say. I love the way your drapes set off the color of your wall, whatever the case might be, because when you walk into someone else's house, you are seeing things through fresh eyes. I remember this summer, I had a friend come to my office, and she walked in and she stopped and she turned all around and she looked. And then she said, "It's so zen-like in here." So now when I'm sitting in my office and I'm noticing only the dust bunnies or the dog hair on the floor, I take a moment to see it through her eyes, and I'm reminded to see the peaceful serenity of the room. So, back to the alien. You might notice the innocence of your child. Explain misbehaviors to the alien. He really just wants my attention right now, so my job as a mom is to teach him better ways to get it. Talk about what your child has been learning. Explain how kids can sometimes seem like they totally understand your words when in fact, their vocabulary is way bigger than their comprehension. This is especially true if your child is under 7 years old. They seem like they know so much and they can have a whole conversation with us, yet their comprehension is not there yet. So explaining that to an alien can help to remind you to cut them a bit of slack. You can do the same deep dive into the behavior and words of your partner, your boss, your colleague. As you objectively explain things to an alien, you can often see things from a new light and realize that a huge part of our regular communication is based on assumptions, bias, and how we're feeling in the moment. It can also point out where you're creating a mountain out of a molehill. In other words, you're getting upset about something that isn't actually warranted. You might also start to point out the things you're grateful for to the alien, with or without further explanation. Gratitude is a great way to lift your vibrational energy and can remind you of how blessed you really are. Just this morning when I came in, it was kind of windy and cold outside, and I came into my house and I had this moment of gratitude for how comfortable my house is. You know, that wind doesn't get through here. You don't have to go into great detail and explain that you just replaced the windows or that, you know, your R level of your insulation is super thick or anything like that. You can if you want to, but you don't need to. You can just say what you're grateful for. When you're really feeling the weight of the cloud, you might feel a strong desire to complain, blame, or even whine about your life. This will not help you lighten your mood, and it could make the alien angry, ensuring your name gets put on the list for future alien abductions, possibly ones with probing and stuff. Yeah, you don't want to go there. All right, tool number three is to shift into the moment. Busy, busy, busy seems to be the reality for so many people. To do this, you have to always be at the top of your game, even when you're feeling down. Remember how I mentioned that one of the reasons a down day may appear is to let you know that you need to slow down and take stock? Always being at your best often means planning ahead, multitasking, prioritizing, not to mention crisis management and self-sacrifice. This is not okay. It's not healthy, and it does not make you supermom. So this is another tool that I'd love to have you implement now and not just save for those days when it takes effort just to lift your head off the pillow. The trick is to recognize that even in a very full day, there are still opportunities to really be in the moment and soak up the beauty. Anytime you tune into your senses and really notice what's around you, the sights, the sounds, the smells, you put yourself into that moment and raise your vibrational energy. An easier way to start doing this is to allow those powerful moments that naturally grab your attention to guide you. For example, about a week ago when I got up, the morning sun was just rising in the eastern sky, and oh my gosh, the whole eastern side was this beautiful kaleidoscope of red, orange, yellow, some purple. Now, in a normal day, a person might, I guess I should say a normal person might notice this, think, nice, and then move on with their list of things to do. But instead, I slipped on my shoes. I moved out on my deck and I tuned into the moment. I breathed in the cool autumn air, tasting it and smelling the damp grass and trees. I felt the breeze touch my skin and a small shiver shoot down my spine. As I continued to gaze at this breathtaking array of colors, I tuned into the stark contrast of the trees in front of it. I could hear the crackle of leaves as they fell to the ground, and a dog was barking off in the distance. My neighbor's rooster crowed, and the golden sun became sharper. I felt the joy expand in my belly, and I basked in the comfort of that feeling. I gave a silent message of gratitude to the universe for sharing this moment with me, and I went back into the house. This whole process took me all of a minute, but it made a difference in the rest of my day. So watch for these kinds of moments. It could be the sunshine hitting your face while you're eating lunch. It could be laughing, a deep belly laugh with a friend. You know, the kind that just flows naturally, and it's often really hard to stop. It can ruin your mascara and everything. It might be sitting down with a fresh hot cup of your favorite beverage, or if it's hot for you and you want a cold beverage, it might be sitting with that. It could be the smell of a meal cooking. It could even be hitting a string of green lights in a row while driving somewhere. The point is that life is filled with these little miraculous moments. We just have to tune in and notice that they're happening. And when you use them to remind you to awaken all your senses, you raise your vibrational energy, and often you anchor in the memory of this happy moment. Now, for those of you who are thinking, Debbie, I barely have time to go to the bathroom in any given day, here's some ideas of where you can shift into the moment without stealing any of your precious time. When you're in the shower, rather than thinking about the 5 million things you need to do when you get out, shift your focus to the feel of the water on your skin. Smell the soaps, tune into your body, immerse yourself in that space only. You're showering anyways. All those things will be there when you get out. So just let go of them. And for that moment or two or five, be there in the shower. Another option, when you're walking down the hallway at work, you know, maybe you're headed to this important meeting, let your brain go quiet for a moment and just feel yourself walking. You might hear the happy click of your shoes. I love the sound of heels clicking on a floor. Now, I don't wear heels very often, but I love it when I do hear it. So if you're hearing it and you love it, tune into it. If you're not wearing heels and you're very quiet, you might even tune into that. Notice how stealthy you are. Notice the sway of your hips. Breathe deeply and really ground yourself in that moment. Wearing a beautiful essential oil can also be very helpful for this and add to the experience. I like to actually take an essential oil. Perfumes are tough on us. They actually cause some problems for us. So I'm not talking about perfume, but essential oils are very pure and they're actually good for us. And perfumes are actually made out of essential oils and then other things are added in. So it's a great thing to use, even if you just get one or two bottles of essential oils that you really like. And what I do is I like to take one and put it on a piece of Kleenex because, number one, when you put essential oils on your skin, just like perfume, they can sometimes change their smell, as they balance with your body. And that's not always a good thing, I have found. You can also put it on your sleeve, like right at the cuff of your sleeve. And then sniff it there. But I'm really sensitive to smells. And so sometimes that will bother me if I put it on my clothing. So instead, I put it on a Kleenex. I fold the Kleenex up. I put it in my pocket. And then when I'm walking in to do a presentation, to be interviewed, to do a workshop, whatever, I can pull it out and smell it. And usually for those instances, I have peppermint on my little piece of Kleenex. Because peppermint awakens the mind. It makes you sharp. It makes you at your smartest. And that's what I want when I go into those situations. So you can choose whatever smells you really like, but that's a beautiful way to add. And you can carry it around with you in your pocket or have it on your sleeve. And then even while you're on the phone, you can enjoy sniffing it and let that bring you into the moment. When you do things like this, it brings your personal power back to you. So in this case, it sets you up for a better meeting than you would have had than if you had just barreled on down the hallway and right into the meeting room. Another example is while you're making supper. As simple or as complex as it might be. So you might not be making supper. You might be opening containers from the takeout place. That's fine. Forget about all the discussions that you had earlier, maybe an argument you had with hubby or a colleague at work or whatever, and tune into what you're doing right there. If you're making the meal, you might hear the sound of cutting the vegetables. If you're opening containers, notice the sound of opening the containers. Smell the aroma of the different foods. This is actually a really important part of the digestive process. So you want to take time to actually smell the food before you eat it so that all the proper enzymes are already there waiting when you eat the food. You can enjoy the colors. The more present you are, the better that meal will be. Finally, remember to make pleasurable moments fun. For example, while you're playing with your kids, let go of your list, the laundry, the house cleaning, the grocery shopping, and just fully immerse yourself in the joy of the moment. Really hear your child's laughter. See the joy in their eyes. Feel the playfulness or creativity seeping into your body. And just a quick note here, 2 minutes of quality interaction like this is worth way more than 10 minutes where you're distracted, where you're answering your phone, where you're looking at the clock, where you're creating your grocery list in your head. So it's worth it to fully tune into the experience and enjoy it at that time. Now, if your kids are older, like mine are, then, you know, they really don't play anymore at 22 and 20, but you can still become really present in the conversation. You can notice their voice, the passion behind their words, allow the love you feel for them to swell up and envelope the two of you. If it's a touching relationship, let's say it's with your partner, you can put your hand on their arm, feel the hair on their arm, or massage their hand. The more senses you bring into it, the more powerful the situation will be. Okay? But I don't suggest that you start, you know, running your fingers through your colleague's hair or things like that. Shifting into the moment sounds like such a simple thing, and it is, but it's also hugely challenging for most of us to do. So take baby steps and pat yourself on the back for even the tiniest of successes. Even though 1 minute might not seem like much, when you add 60 of them together, you get a whole hour, and that can really make a difference. Now, I know you're not going to do 60 of these in a day. That's not what I'm suggesting, but even 20 of them makes a huge difference. Even 10. You can never have too many tools to help you raise your vibration, shift your perspective, or lighten your mood. So even if you only choose one of these ideas and try it for the next couple of days, you'll be making a difference in your life. The more aware you are, the easier it will be to create the vibrant and powerful life you're here to enjoy. If you've benefited from this podcast, please share it with others, rave about it on social media, and give it a positive review. With much respect for you and the journey you are on, this is Debbie Pokornik wishing you a vibrant and powerful day.
You've been listening to Vibrant Powerful Moms with host Debbie Pokornik. If you've enjoyed this show, please give us a shout out and leave us a positive review. To find out more about Debbie and her sisterhood of Vibrant Powerful Moms, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters N-R-G.com.